broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Senior Senator from Arizona today said, and I quote, he was deeply...
We went to one of the best research firms in Washington, D.C.
Americans have the right to go into our federal courts and have their cases
judged. Frank is the lead plaintiff, but all the firefighters have...
Evil white man.
This is not funny.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where truth is our bitch, the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And that's because, you know, we ain't ideological on this show. No, that keeps us clear of all the horse crap that flies around during the daytime. What we do is we come up here at night, and we just shovel the stuff out for you. And boy, has it been flying fast and furious today in this here world we call the news. You know, there is there's this thing called racism. Then there's this sort of thing called being racial. Then there's this thing called being slightly bigoted, or maybe kind of Al Campanis bigoted, or maybe your dad kind of bigoted. You know, or, yeah, I'm not a racist. You know, I just walk across the street when they come down the street, you know, whether you're black or white. And then there is the unique kind of racial profiling and attitude that people who would, jump up and down and swear to God Almighty that they're in a racist bone in their body sometimes exhibit. Now, I'm not singling out progressives or liberals, but today we happen to have a classic example of an individual who works in the United States Senate, Barbara Boxer, suddenly taking some testimony from a black businessman and comparing it with some research or attitudes or statements made by the NAACP, and the businessman in question was getting very, very flipped out by it because, as you will hear, he didn't see how it was relevant that he, the president of the Black Chamber of Commerce, should have to listen to Boxer enter into the record a statement from the NAACP. Now, you know that I don't, on this show, go any place unless they really know where the hell it is it's going, you know, and I want to find out now what's really going on, because when this story happened today, there were a lot of people on the conservative side of the ball field saying, aha, Boxer's a no-count racist, just like that Geraldine Ferraro. You know, I don't think Ferraro's a racist, but I remember during the campaign thinking, what a moron. Naturally, she'd get hired by Fox. Well, if she wouldn't get hired by Fox, they already got their quota of dumbasses over on CNN, so Fox, I guess, needed one more. They put Geraldine Ferraro in there. There's nothing wrong with Geraldine Ferraro other than the fact she doesn't know why she says half the crap that she says. Because if she knew why she said the reason why Barack Obama is winning in the primary is because he's black, she wouldn't have had to get so upset about it. She could have explained it, but she wasn't able to explain it. She just thought it was something a bunch of other Italian-Americans might understand, you know, or maybe a few of the folks from her neighborhood, some of the other ethnicities. Or maybe guys like, you know, like some lace curtain Mick like O'Reilly, he'd understand that, but the rest of us didn't get it. I didn't get it. Maybe some folks did. Boxer, on the other hand, today at this hearing on climate change, basically was just challenged. I mean, she was told by this member of the Black Chamber of Commerce, Harry Alford, that she was being, quote, racial, that she was being condescending, and he was pissed, to put it mildly. Now, we're going to hear the audio. You're going to listen to this confrontation between Boxer and Alford, but let me give you a little background. It was a hearing on climate change, and the tensions began to build between the head of the National Black Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Harry Alford, as I mentioned, and the Senate Environment and Public Works Chairman, Barbara Boxer, who's seeking to pass legislation to impose mandatory greenhouse gas reductions. So she was talking about energy investments, you know, created in her state. And Alford countered. He said, well, he didn't see any evidence of that. He says, I've been looking. I haven't seen it. And Boxer said, well, I want you to come with me. Let's go see these jobs that you say don't exist. And then she put into the record a statement from the NAACP. Now, Mr. Alford responded with anger. And after I initially heard his response, and I thought, right on, because I always love it. I like it even more than just an out-and-out, in-your-face, racist, redneck, cracker, dumbass getting his ass hauled on a carpet. I like it more when somebody who calls themselves, you know, a progressive with the milk of human kindness running through their veins, and they understand the plight of people of color, and they've been fighting on their behalf all of their lives, and they get called out by just one of those people for being racial and condescending and just a typical white with a lot of time to burn, you know. And they're going to burn up some of it on behalf of the blacks. So I thought that was fantastic when I heard him ripping her an ass. And then I began to think a little bit more about it, and I thought, wait a minute. He doesn't want the NAACP record statement in the record. Why is he there? He's black, and he represents a group called the Black Chamber of Commerce. Then there's the NAACP. So I got a little bit confused until I finally settled on the realization he's a businessman. He represents a consortium and an organization of businesses. He represents employers. He represents jobs. He represents businesses. He represents the very entities that are at the fore of hiring people. They know how much it costs. They know how much it's going to take. They know how many people they need. They know whether or not this stuff is actually working. Is it creating jobs? And so forth. The NAACP is a social justice organization that does, of course, keep its hand a little bit in the issue of jobs. And it's got its hand over the issue of education. And then it's over here talking about race relations between people of color and race relations between people of color and white people. And then it's got its hand over there in Washington. So the NAACP is an umbrella organization for a lot of different interests. And I understood Mr. Alford's anger. I'm a businessman. I create jobs along with other business people. This is about jobs, and this is about business, and this is about whether this is cost-effective or not, and whether it's creating jobs. And you're hauling in the NAACP, which is the white man and white woman's favorite organization, to haul in to any discussion to cite because you, Ms. Boxer, you wouldn't know black if your underwear was stained that way on any given day.
Why would your underwear be like that? That'd be a bad disease.
There would be a bad disease, and I don't want to get into it.
Man, woo! Man, Lord.
All right, look. Climate change hearing turned stormy. So that's the answer to my question. That's the process I went through, and I hope that you, when you're looking at stories, you go through the same process. Wait a minute, it's really fun to hear Barbara Boxer get her ass kicked because, quite frankly, even though I may agree with a lot of things she says on any given day, she's a pain in the ass. She's just a pain in the ass. Just listening to her. Just listening to the... It's like Harry Reid with that voice,
Mr. Chairman,
Hey, Harry, you'll see this? This is an M80. It's going down your pants.
Well, I didn't know... That didn't hurt.
All right. So let's listen now to Harry Alford. He's the president and CEO of the National Black Chamber of Commerce. He's ripping Barbara Boxer here for referencing an NAACP report in favor of climate change legislation. Where are we at here? We're number one. Yeah, I want to go to Boxer number one, Bud, and then we'll go to Boxer number two. Two after one. Remember that.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was confused.
Yeah, two always follows one.
Quote, clean energy is the key that will unlock millions of jobs, and the NAACP's support is vital to ensuring that those jobs help to rebuild urban areas. So clearly there's a diversity.
Madam Chair, that is condescending to me. I'm the National Black Chamber of Commerce, and you're trying to put up some other black group to pit against me.
If this gentleman were here, he would be proud that he was being quoted.
He should have been invited.
Just as he would be proud.
It is condescending to me.
Just so you know, he would be proud that you were here. He's proud, I'm sure.
Proud.
That
well,
I am
yeah,
quoting.
Say the word
proud.
All that's condescending, and I don't like it. It's racial.
I don't
like it.
Excuse me, sir.
I take offense to it.
Okay.
As an African-American and a veteran of this country, I take offense to that.
Offense at the fact that I would quote.
You're quoting some other black man. Why don't you quote some other Asian or somebody?
Well,
you are being racial here.
Okay, let me be
clear. I think you're getting to a path here that's going to explode.
He's pissed off because he's a businessman. This is his business. You want to ask me about jobs? Ask me about jobs. What are you bringing in the NAACP? Just any old rank-and-file black group? How about, why don't you bring in the Daughters of the Black American Revolution? Why don't you bring in the National African American Skiing Association? As long as we're on the subject, it's about as relevant. That's why he's angry. And he has right to be. And this is a progressive or a liberal falling into a trap. And the trap is simply this. You're white. That's the trap. You can call yourself anything you want. You're still whitey. And you still sound like one, talk like one, look like one, act like one. Even though you're saying all that nice, sweet stuff about how when he would be proud, and he would be proud, and he would be proud. And Boxer, you know, I got to tell you something, man. Just because you call yourself egalitarian and open-minded and forward-thinking, it doesn't mean, man, you haven't thrown out the high-button shoes. You're still riding around spinning a freaking parasol over your head. Here now is Boxer trying to defend herself against a very angry Alfred.
The fact is, there's definitely differing opinions in the black community, just as there are in my community.
You're speaking on behalf of the black community?
No. I am putting in the record a statement by the NAACP.
Why?
Because I think it is quite relevant.
I understand the Pew study.
But you don't
why are you doing the NAACP? Why are you doing the Colored People Association study with the Black Chamber of Commerce?
I am trying to show the diversity of support that
diversity.
We have.
I see all those words, man, those words, because suddenly when they're thrown into the face of a black man who is generally not in the room when white people are using words like diversity and white people are using words like pride and white people are using all these silly-ass words, and suddenly there's a man there who is an African-American, he's listening to this stuff, and he wants to vomit listening to her trying to sweet-talk him. Here we have Mr. Alfred now resenting Boxer for bringing up the NAACP like he's been doing all through this.
Senator, as I said, we've been looking at energy policy since 1996, and we are referring to the experts, regardless of their color. And for someone to tell me, an African-American, college-educated veteran of the United States Army, that I must contend with some other black group and put aside everything else in here, this has nothing to do with the NAACP and really has nothing to do with the National Black Chamber of Commerce. We're talking energy. And that road the chair went down, I think it's god-awful.
And Boxer shows no respect as she talks to a colleague while this man is making a statement, even though she demands respect for herself. She's a very, we're beginning to see a rather imperious person. I don't think she's really in step with much of what's going on. I don't even think she knows what, you know, when she gets up in the morning, man, where she's going to work in the morning. Is it the post office or the Senate building? Now we have here a little exchange between Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe, who is a Republican, and he interrupts Senator Tom Carper, who's a Delaware Democrat, and he flips out.
Madam Chairman, since our witness mentioned my name, I want to at least respond.
Wait. I was very patient, listening to others talk. I'm asking these questions. I want to have him respond to my questions. I'm a very patient guy, but damn it, I want to be given the respect that I gave you.
I'm going to add just 60 seconds, Senator Carper, because you could lose your train of thought by being interrupted.
Sure.
Interruption is not appropriate, regardless of who's interrupting whom. So, Senator Carper, please.
Thanks very much.
Yes, please. Would you just go ahead, Senator Carper? Now, here we have Harry Alfred. He's on the Breitbart online radio show.
We went to one of the best research firms in Washington, D.C., found some sponsors to underwrite the study, put our name to the study. But Senator Boxer goes, colored boy, what are you doing with this sophisticated report?
Now, that was not an exact quote, but that was kind of the way you were taking it, right?
Right, but that's the way it was. I've got the NAACP is going to do a resolution. You call me NAACP, what does that got to do with the report?
Right.
You know, let's talk about the issues of the report. Let's debate this. No, colored boy, you know, I got a guy from 100 black men. What does that have to do with the report? It was condescending. It was like being in Mississippi in 1945, and you got uppity to the old white boss,
right,
goes out and finds him another black to whip your butt for him. You know, it was vile, Jim
right.
Crow.
You know, as the Republican Party is struggling to find out who they are and what they are and what they want to do, as they're still screwing around with Palin in 2012, that's not going to happen. We'll talk about a poll that shows Romney leading, and Romney, as you know, has been bugging a lot of conservatives because he's a pro-choice Republican, which in my opinion, Romney's the way to go for that party in terms of the social issues. As the Republicans, though, are probably going to wind up shooting themselves in the foot on that one, the Democrats continue to do the same thing by trotting out that sort of like that school marm attitude. Well, let me tell you what a self-respecting black man does. My name is Keith Olbermann. My name is Barbara Boxer, and you're a self-hating black. You know, they got the same kind of plantation mentality, only instead of being a slave master, they're the benevolent. They're the benevolent white overlord who is going to, you know, rub them on their nappy little heads and showing them how they can become electrical engineers. You know, as Jefferson's son once said on that fine television show that I never watched. Oh, I was going to play Barbara Boxer being a smartass with that general, but we'll get back to that and more. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, The World According To, with a special guest coming up later on tonight. And Social Security executives are boogieing down at a five-star resort in Phoenix. Man, will you hear this? It's all ahead on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, the number 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, as it is every night. And we're also online at www.philhenryshow.com. We got a live streaming video of the show right now, so you can watch me as I sit here and do the show. And Bud's here. Bud, say hello.
Yeah.
And Robert, how you?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Everything's good. You know, I'm trying to get all these cans out of here and everything.
What the hell is with this? What is that stuff?
Old Milwaukee.
Will you guys not drink the beer in here, man? Wait till the weekend at Old Milwaukee.
You said it was $1.99 a six-pack over that one place.
$1.99 a six-pack when I was 18 years old, man. And also, we have forthcoming our World According To, where we bring in one of our very special guests to discuss the issues of the day. Now, getting back here to Barbara Boxer, we were talking about this confrontation between Boxer and this guy, Harry Alford, the Black Chamber of Commerce. It's one of my favorite topics, and it's also one of the more embarrassing. And that is when the white overlord, who has the better interests of the coloreds at heart, begins to weigh in on what's good for them. You know, they're not slave masters. No. No, they are the white overseers who are, you know, they freed the slaves and they want them to go off and, as we mentioned, you know, Lionel of the Jeffersons, remember? And Archie used to get a kick out of him saying, I'm going to be electrical engineer. You know, he would make fun and basically of Archie's whole attitude. And I think that that's kind of the attitude of a boxer or to some extent some of these dumbasses that you see, whether it be, you know, our favorite guy there, Oberfuhrer, and his sidekick, Janine, she was in there. And there were two whiteys sitting there with every white face on that network rapping about how Michael Steele is a self-hating black man. I mean, where do you get your pair, Olbermann, or who do you borrow it from? More to the point. Here is Boxer, by the way, as she just got all upset because somebody didn't call her senator. Meanwhile, she's talking down to some businessman about climate change, and she's rapping about the NAACP and how the, quote, diversity of opinion and the pride and all those other words that come out of the mouth of any white man or woman, especially when they're trying to be nice about it, it sounds like you might as well just be throwing out the F word, you know, MFF. Anyway, here she is.
Ma'am, at the LACPR is...
Do me a favor. Could you say senator instead of ma'am?
Yes,
it's just a thing. I worked so hard to get that title, so I'd appreciate it. Yes, thank you.
Worked hard?
Yes, Senator.
So there's a good man, a general, and she's just got to kind of get up into his kisser. And while she's lecturing the military, she'll tell that black boy where he's supposed to be when it comes to climate change and jobs and the NAACP. You should be embarrassed. I mean, honest to God, this is why I wouldn't call myself either a conservative or a progressive if they threatened to kill every member of my family if they weren't already dead. Now then.
Are they? You're kidding me. They all did.
You know what I'm saying. All right. 877-876-PHIL. We have time for one more story. Maybe? I don't know. Nah, I want to get into that whole thing in Phoenix, man, in depth. Because the Social Security people were in Phoenix, and I guess they were having themselves a party of some kind and spending all kinds of bread. We'll figure this one out. But 700 G's and these jackasses are having a party? So the point here with Boxer and into the bigger issue of Romney and Palin and who's who and what's what when the election comes up, as the Republicans are still kind of, you know, splashing around in the water trying to find a life preserver, the Democrats think they got the power. Let me give you an idea as to what you guys are up against, okay? People are going to get sick of that. you cats have already been labeled with, and you pretty much have the stink of the old school attitude about how you tax and spend people, and you still have the stench of being an anti-defense party. You got to get all of that stuff squared away by 2012, because I didn't think it was possible. The Republicans may be making a comeback. If they get off the Palin kick and they get smart about who they are, and I think if Romney's leading in the polls, they may be getting smarter. You guys are back to the same problem you had with Bush. So get with it, okay? Get rid of these old school liberals like Boxer and get smart. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, welcome back to our show here, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Here's an example of what I was talking about when I talked to you about the Democrats have, and it's slipping fast, the golden opportunity to take advantage of how stupid Republicans have been by focusing exclusively on the economic question of why there was so much taxation and why there was so much spending during the Bush years. Had they had their heads together and had they been able to pull their heads out of their asses from time to time, they would have been able to articulate the necessity for some of that spending relative to what happened to the country following 9/11, relative to what happened, the things that the country was involved in following 9/11, and it's certainly the recession that was threatened and never quite came about to the extent that some people thought, and the quote-unquote dot-com bubble bursting and all of that. They didn't. What they did do instead was beat themselves up for that and say that we're back, we are now the let's not spend so much money party, and they still hung on to the issues of social conservatism that do not represent the stand anyway. It doesn't represent the future of their party. And as a result, the message was confused. They brought people like Palin on board, and they died a horrible, grisly, bloody death. Democrats, meanwhile, flush from victory, have decided that their traditional image of being a party of great magnanimity, and I'm being kind, and a party that is always very suspect of anything having to do with defense, and anything having to do with an aggressive foreign policy, they haven't moved to change that image at all. Now, Boxer, in that series of clips we played for you, is just the tip of an iceberg that I think exists, and it's a weakness for that party. The traditional white-run Democratic Party that's going to tell nappy-headed black people what's good for them. Yeah, sure, I get it. They've got a black president. But the fact of the matter is that if that attitude is pervasive in the Democratic Party that we heard Boxer, articulate, there's probably a cadre of white people in the Democratic Party saying, see, we elevated one of you up to the highest office in the land. And he's doing a real good job, that boy is. I even heard a little bit of it with Maher talking about, why isn't Obama back in the White House working? Get that boy back to work. How come he out there talking to all those people when he ought to be back to work? Meanwhile, the Republicans who've been, dancing this dance about Palin because she appeals to their base, which is maybe about 300 people for all we know, they're still screwing around. Now, they've got an opportunity here with Romney, although from 1 minute to the next, as of last break, my understanding was that Romney was pro-choice. Now I find out that he's a pro-life candidate, although he does support letting states decide on the issue, which isn't that big of a deal, not that much of a change from anything else that's going on in that party. If Romney had stuck to his guns and remained a pro-choice candidate, they might have had a shot. But they're going to make the same criticism of Romney that they're going to make of Palin. And forget about whether the guy's got no experience or whether he's got too much experience. The criticism of Palin not having experience, that really wasn't the issue with a lot of people. The issue was that she wasn't really talking for a whole lot of Americans. She just the stuff coming out of her mouth did not reflect the reality of America today, not necessarily being the soccer mom Valhalla that everybody thinks it is. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different people in this country, man. It's just not about folks up there, you know, gutting and field dressing moose. There's other people to talk to. So, you know, the problems over there with the so-called liberals, they are manifold, many-fold and manifest, and, you know, they're probably getting worse by the minute. And meanwhile, over in the conservative side of things, they still have that dumbass element that I don't know they're ever going to weed them out. Here's an example. In Austin, Texas, civil rights leaders Cesar Chavez and Thurgood Marshall, quote-unquote conservatives, are advising the state on curriculum standards. They don't think Cesar Chavez or Thurgood Marshall belongs in textbooks. Now, if you talk about chicken crap, there it is. You talk about quibbling over chicken crap, that's it. Cesar Chavez, the man who unionized farm workers. Farm workers living in shacks that were permeated with insecticide, groundwater, rats, roaches, immigrants who, legal or not, were out there in the fields doing the work that had to be done to get the food out of the ground and onto the truck into the supermarkets, eaten by a whole bunch of Americans, legal or not, human beings that were working on behalf of the consumer and on behalf of the grower, not being treated very well, and in point of fact, living like animals. And when Chavez decided to confront the growers, he came up against the same thing that labor organizers in this country have come up against millions and millions of times, and that is these thugs and slobs and bums with brickbats and guns and fists and it's the same game in America when it comes to organizing labor. They had the goons that the growers hired, and they had the growers, or they had the farm workers out there having to do battle with that element. And it was a very, very pivotal time. I was there. I remember. I was living through those times. I remember what an unbelievable time it was in the middle of everything else that farm workers were going to be, accorded some kind of situation pertaining to their living standard and their working condition that was relatively human and humane. Then you have Thurgood Marshall, who was a black justice on the Supreme Court. He argued Brown versus the Board of Education. So this is a man who wasn't just a Supreme Court justice. He was an attorney who stood before the Supreme Court and argued cases, many, many cases. Became the first black chief justice. And these guys are quibbling as to whether or not these individuals belong in a history book. And there may be an argument. I don't think it's a very big argument, and I don't think it's going to last very long, and I don't think it's very significant. But these cats just can't bring themselves to allow two individuals who are not divisive at all. These are two guys who represent the best of this country, not the worst. But they just don't see where it's relevant, and they don't want to have that stuff in the, you know, it's just, they don't dig it. So they're going to argue that. You want to know why conservatives continue to dwindle in number? They get louder, and they get dumber, but they dwindle in number because of these individuals. What I call the real chicken crap edge of their movement. These cats arguing stuff like this. And then let's go on to the even more extreme elements, mailing out, you know, things with watermelon and chicken on it, or they're mailing out a joke here, or they're doing that. I mean, you know, you guys don't have any time for this stuff anymore, all right? You just got no time for it. Back in 2004, during the election before the last one, when they kicked all the gays out of the Republican convention in South Carolina, there was, again, South Carolina. You guys got some work to do there. I said it then. I said, this is, you ain't going to have a party that's going to win anything, man. I mean, you guys won't win a raffle with the horse dung that's going on in your party as long as you got these small-minded, redneck dumbasses who get a voice in everything that you're doing. Now, if you go to the progressive side, you got the same problem. Over the Democratic side, you have a progressive extremity that's basically anti-military for no reason other than the fact that it's cool. You got that whitey attitude that boxers got, you know, where she's going to talk down to the nappy-headed black businessman because she knows where it's at. You got all of those kinds of people, man. You don't need them anymore. It isn't that people like that don't exist or will, you know, someday will not exist. It's that they have a voice. They actually have a controlling voice in some of the decisions that are made. So right now, as the Republicans are looking for their asses with both hands, you Democrats ought to take some of this advice I'm giving you right now to heart. Quit with the whole, you know, they're proud and the diversity. Get out of here with that, okay? Throw that playbook out. Show the rest of the country that you got a pair. Show the rest of the country that you actually do speak to people as individuals and not necessarily as a race. Get these knee-jerk jackballs like Boxer out of there with that. Well, thank you very much. I know you're a businessman, but we have this comment here now, and it's Mom's Mabley. She'd like to weigh in. What the hell's she got to do with anything? Well, she's black, isn't she? And meanwhile, you cats on the conservative side, as long as you're paying homage to and licking the thighs of and other parts of the body of these religious nuts, what the hell? Who do you represent? You sure as hell don't represent anybody that I know. And let me tell you something. I grew up with a lot of conservatives, man. My whole damn family. Real suburban white conservatives. They wouldn't recognize. They wouldn't have anything to do with you people right now. So here in Texas, they're arguing about whether Cesar Chavez and Thurgood Marshall belong in history books. Are you guys high? You must be high on that same DDT those poor migrant farm workers were breathing all those years. And who's leading the charge? You want to know who's leading the charge? And I'd like to, you know, get your opinion on this. Some preacher. Minister Peter Marshall, one of six experts advising the state as it develops new curriculum standards for social studies classes and textbooks. And this jackass is saying, well, you know, Cesar Chavez and Thurgood, would you get these religious nuts out of there and get some real bona fide educators in there? I don't give a damn what their political stripe. I just like to see a doctor of something that ain't theology involved in some of this, like a doctor of education. That'd be fantastic. Or what are the books? History books? I got a great idea. How about historians? What's a preacher doing advising on textbooks? We teaching our kids? Do we want our kids to learn things? Do we need people who know something about educating kids? Do we need people who know something about, if it is a history textbook, history? Hey, how about a history teacher? How about history professors? How about history researchers? How about child psychologists? How about child behaviorists? How about anything or anybody that has anything whatsoever to do with education, not Minister Peter Marshall of the Fifth Avenue Jackass Church? I don't have any idea what that's got to do with anything, but we keep right on doing it, don't we? You want to know why? Because this guy stood up in a meeting and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you how the whole damn thing is going to go down. Just tell you, know, generally it's because these cats are the best speakers. You know, preachers, they get up and they really know how to move a crowd. And they got that whole pitch down, you know, so everybody figures, well, hell, that guy knows how to talk. He must know something. I can give an example of how wrong that can be, like about 100 million talk show hosts. Just because a guy can talk don't mean he knows nothing, right?
Yeah, like you.
Exactly, like me. Now,
what do you mean, like me?
Well, I think I'm right about this. All right, 877-876. So let's take a look at this last 45 minutes we've been talking. What have we been talking about, really? We're talking about the same old mistakes made by the same old stupid, silly people. The liberal wing of the Democratic Party, the conservative wing of the Republican Party, alienating all these default comments like, you know, the NAACP here and Cesar Chavez and Thurgood Marshall over there. Just the same old stupid stuff. Nobody ever asks the real serious question. For instance, why are you bringing up, of course, Alford asked the question, but, you know, somebody else besides this poor guy who was getting browbeaten. Why are you asking me about the NAACP when this is about business and jobs and I went to Chamber of Commerce? And when it comes to the history book down there in Texas, what the hell, you got some preacher in there advising you when we ought to be talking to educators? Why is it we're always off point in this country? Always off the point. Not only are we off the point, but we think cats like Boxer, and in this case, this Marshall jackball, these people are totally on point. This is what it's about. It's about family values. Family values. I love history. I respect history. I would kill for the correct historical. I literally would lay my life down so that the truth, the historical record, makes it into the hands of our kids. And somebody trying to mess around with it pisses me off. The same way someone sitting up there with words like diverse and words like, you know, pride, some white mama sitting up, you know, the white mother telling black boy there how it's going to be with the NAACP. Yeah, man, it's a real disease. It's a disease that is affecting this country and infecting this country each and every day, man. This ideologic stuff that is it's like a script these people are working from.
You pissed off now?
No, I feel good. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know whether we'll have Pastor William Rennick or not. Maybe we ought to have Pastor Rennick coming on in our world, according to maybe Mavis will join us. Maybe Clara will join us. Maybe we'll just quit early tonight. We'll be right back here. This is the only show that knows what it's talking about, man. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. The Phil Hendry Show till 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
You know, I don't know what the problem is. You know, Romney, he's pro-choice, pro-life, pro-choice, pro-life. What the hell's your problem, man? What are you worried about? Will you guys get off this, I don't want to alienate the base thing before we all just lose our minds? I don't want to alienate the base. You know what? That's like saying I don't want to alienate 15 guys standing around a liquor store waiting for it to open up. Who cares? Who cares? You don't even know what the hell your party represents anymore. I mean, I know the Democrats don't know what the hell they represent. All they represent is we won. That's what they represent, man. They won. And they got a couple of ideas on how they want to do things. And, you know, Republicans do, too, but they won. But you couldn't ask either one of those stumble bums if they were people. The Democratic Party is a guy here. And is it Republicans a guy here? What are you, man? What do you represent? I don't know. All I know is I kicked ass. And what do you represent? All I know, I got my ass kicked. We believe in small government. You couldn't tell me what that means, man, if I gave you all week. What do you represent? We believe in the rights of people. I'm telling you, if ever, you know, you don't have to do what I did, which is resign myself from the whole stupid shooting match. But if you join any other party, say you're getting sick like I am, but you can't be without a political party affiliation because you just wouldn't know what to do with your afternoons. I suggest that you join one at least that knows what it is. That would be there's a start. I mean, if you're that tired and bored with your life and you really need to be, you know, passing out flyers and wearing little ribbons and have a big button that says Joe Blow for president because he's a this or he's a that, at least join a party that has some idea what the hell it is, okay? Not a couple of guys like the Republicans and the Democrats with their thumbs parked up their asses or the Libertarians who are all things to all people or the Green Party, which you might as well be a member of that freaking Marshall Applegate group, man, that cut their genitals off and waited for Hale Bop.
Yeah, those guys, was that a political party? Ought to have been.
It might as well have been.
Who the people cut off the general and waited for the Hale Bop because they thought it was going to take them away, right?
Yeah.
That's a political party?
No, man, it was a cult, but it might as well have been a political party. For all the good they're doing anybody, having about as much effect as these guys are. All right, let's go to a phone call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL in Boston. We have Adam. Boston, what's on your mind, man?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Colin, I'm an independent voter from Boston, Massachusetts. I vote conservative on some issues, liberal on other issues. But I am a person of faith, and I get a little uncomfortable when you throw around that term religious nuts. And I'm just wondering what you mean by that, because I think there are people who are, you know, very rational people who have nuanced opinions on things who aren't necessarily part of the religious right. You know, like who
I would agree with you. I think it does deserve a definition. Anyone whose calling in life is that of leading a flock in spirituality and religion, who then believes, because he has a great speaking voice and a great oratorical skills, who then believes that he's also an expert on history, on education, and even presumes to advise as to what is contained in a history book. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't see any connection there.
Well,
I would rather have someone who has some tuition and education in history, you know, as I mentioned.
But I think there are people like Martin Luther King, for instance, who's a personal hero of mine, who was a preacher and was able to move people, but was coming from a religious background, who had something to say that I think changed a lot of people's lives for the better.
Well, Martin Luther King was the leader of a social movement, and in my opinion, that's slightly different from incorporating into a textbook black and white letters that are going to be read by school children as part of a hard and fast curriculum that must be, adhered to by teachers and students, as opposed to a man exercising his rights to free speech and saying, "Hi, I'm a citizen too, and I think I deserve these rights." I think there's a difference between that and saying this is what must go into a children's history textbook. All right, we can talk more about this. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show. I think we're going to have Pastor William Rennick coming up in our World According to. The Phil Henry Show continues.
Phil Henry.
Or maybe not.